week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Tuesday's show, former Manchester United and Everton goalkeeper Tim Howard is elected to the U.S. National Soccer Hall of Fame. We'll have reaction from Howard. I'll chat with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about some of the recent English Premier League football highlights. And we tip off the program with pro basketball. The Indiana Pacers and the New Orleans Pelicans have advanced to the semifinals in the NBA's in-season tournament. In Indianapolis, Indiana, the Pacers beat the Boston Celtics 122-112. And in Sacramento, California, the Pelicans defeated the Sacramento Kings 127-117. All-star guard Tyrese Halliburton set the pace for the Pacers in their victory over the Celtics. Halliburton recorded his first career triple-double, 26 points, 13 assists, and 10 rebounds. Talk to us, Tyrese!
I'm just trying to figure out a way to win. I mean, we've wanted to be in this situation all year, and here we are, and you know, now it's not just about being here, it's about winning. So we're excited to get to Vegas and play some more defense.
Tyrese talks about playing some more defense. His teammate, Miles Turner, who had 17 points and 10 rebounds, says defense was the key to the victory.
I think it's something that's been drilled, you know, into every single practice with our drill work and whatnot and our defense. So, you know, if we want to get to the playoffs and be that elite team, obviously that's where we got to hang our hats. The old saying, what is it? Offense wins games, defense wins championships. Like, you know, I'm a big believer in that myself. So, you know, we're going to keep winning games and figure it out on defense.
In the semifinals, Miles Turner and the Pacers will play the winner of Tuesday night's game between the New York Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks. The New Orleans Pelicans advanced to the semifinals with a 127-117 win over the host Sacramento Kings. Forward Brandon Ingram led the Pelicans with 30 points, while guard Herb Jones added 23 points. The Pelicans will next play the winner of Tuesday night's game between the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers. Former Manchester United and Everton goalkeeper Tim Howard has been elected to the U.S. National Soccer Hall of Fame, and he'll be inducted on May 4th. The 52-year-old Howard also made 121 appearances with the U.S. national men's team, and he was in goal for the Americans at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa and the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Tim Howard is currently in his fourth season as a football analyst for the NBC television network. Hey, Tim, how does it feel to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, I can honestly say I'm humbled. I'm honored. I'm shocked. But, you know, in general, you play your career as you know, you start as a young kid and you dream about these days. You know, you just try and be great or chase greatness and all the things that go into that, the highs and the lows. And this is a culmination of, like, you finally made it. That it all came together and it was worth it.
How surprised are you, Tim?
I was utterly shocked. When you just have literally no idea it's coming, it does all the preparation behind the scenes that everyone does is special, because to have a moment of utter shock and surprise doesn't happen very often. This was one of the sweetest.
Sweet victory for Liverpool Sunday in the English Premier League. The Reds rallied to beat visiting Fulham 4-3, getting late goals from substitute Wataru Endo and Trent Alexander-Arnold. Liverpool's manager Jurgen Klopp says it's a match he'll never forget.
3-3, and then obviously everybody could see the boys wanted more. And because we were a bit lucky today, we got it. Outstanding experience, I would say. Everybody was here. I don't think anybody would have thought before the game, Liverpool, Fulham, that it will be a game you will never forget in your life. But welcome. Who was here today will never forget it in their life. I never saw a game with the amount of worldies, to be honest. I mean, a competitive game. It was really competitive. Trent's free kick, unbelievable. Maka, before the game, you could see his foot is right today. He was really in the shooting. He was like, wow, I thought you should better try it. He thought obviously the same. Vata was just, so important. He came on, so that was really good, really good. Won decisive challenges, super passing, top goal. Yeah, and then Trent makes it a brace.
Joining us once again on the show is my VOA colleague, Muckbill Yabarrow. Sporty greetings, Muckbill.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Muckbill, we just heard Liverpool's manager Jurgen Klopp say it was an unforgettable match against Fulham. I know you haven't forgotten it, Muckbill. Share your thoughts on that big game.
Yeah, absolutely. As we spoke recently about EPL and who seems to be in charge or who we are expecting to take it all the way this year, Liverpool is in that conversation alongside Arsenal and Manchester City. I believe fans and analysts alike were expecting Liverpool to be able to get the job done against Fulham relatively easy, as Fulham is middle to the bottom of the pack. But you know, the beauty of the game sometimes is when you have teams like a Fulham or teams mid to the bottom of the pack, what they'll end up doing is they see these upper teams, the teams at the top, right? And sometimes, even if they have the inability to win the league, they might just kind of just want to, you know, size them up and see what's the real big difference between us and them. So they take it very seriously, and it's almost like a championship game for them, really. So every time that the leaders of the pack end up playing anybody, you're going to get the very best version of every single team. And Fulham really proved that this week, coming out, having scored an own goal. Liverpool, basically, Fulham scored an own goal on themselves to give Liverpool that initial lead, the 1-0 lead at the very beginning of the game. After that, it went 1-1, and then Liverpool takes a 2-1 lead, 2-2 lead going into the half. After that, the second half is really, you know, open for interpretation, really. It was kind of like, you know, Liverpool trying to assert dominance, not really able to get the job done, not able to really score up until the 80th minute, where Fulham actually knocks down what seems to be the potential go-ahead and victory goal, almost like what a golden goal would look like. So they're up 3-2. But, you know, Liverpool digs deep and is able to score 2 goals before even the end of regulation. So in the 87th minute and the 88th minute, they're able to score. And that's really what it shows you. To me, what I took from that was this is a team led by, you know, Jurgen Klopp, as we just heard, a very, very talented manager, talented cast that have championship pedigree. And they have the ability to dig deep. And these are the type of games that you have to be able to win in order to put together a EPL win for a season. So, yeah, Liverpool's in a good space. I know our colleague Gwen Oon maybe was having a bit of a more difficult time while watching the game than I did. But was able to pull off the win nonetheless.
I did see a smile or two on Gwen's face in the office, though, Muckbill. I think she did maybe some sighs of relief when they pulled out that victory.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree on that. I definitely would have to agree.
Well, let's go to your beloved Gunners of Arsenal. They stay on top of the EPL table at home, 2-1 victory over the Wolves, and it looks like Bukayo Saka was the man of the match, Muckbill.
Yeah, Bukayo Saka, as we like to call him, our star boy. This young man has really, he's been splendid for us, if I could say that. And even not only in EPL, but also in Champs League, where he's leading all contributions whether it's goals plus assists, he's leading everybody in Champions League as well. So just to put that into perspective, he's playing great across all competitions at the moment. Yeah, this was what we had expected, you know, a 2-1 win against, you know, the Wolves. And, you know, the Wolves are in the middle of the pack as well, about 13th in the Premier League at the moment. But we got the job done relatively early. Arsenal came out, Saka scores in the 6th. Then Captain Odegaard scores in the 13th. Game really should have been over right about there. Arsenal continued to press and attack. They were trying to really run the score up, but just were unable to score another goal. And then late in the game, the Wolves were able to score a goal in the 86th minute, which really, really reinvigorated them. And kind of gave them that hope that they could potentially pull off that draw. So it was I would say, tougher end of the game for Arsenal than they would have expected. But if we look at, like, shots on target, it was like 6 shots on target to 3, but Arsenal had 19 shots compared to 6 shots from the Wolves. Possession was not really that close, and passes, I believe, were 617 to about 478. So it seemed like Arsenal was in control for a majority of that game.
Muckbill, let's take a look at another result. Defending champion Manchester City 3, Tottenham 3. Third consecutive match where Man City has drawn with its opponent. Maybe some bumps in the road for Man City's title defense, huh, Muckbill?
Yeah, absolutely, Sonny. I would definitely agree. I think the invincible feeling that teams got when they saw Man City come into a field and play against them last season, having won that treble, or as they were on the way to win their treble, was it's not the same feeling that teams are getting now when you see Man City. They've been plagued by injuries similar to other teams. They've also, you know, gotten rid of a few players, traded some of the players that they've had that really were very impactful in their run last year. So all in all, they're looking very, very, you know, mortal, really, you know, for lack of better words. Because the team that we saw last year had an ability to just put the level of fear in teams that you wouldn't get the best version of your, like, the opponents that they were playing were not putting their best foot forward ever. So it's funny to see now where it's like, I think they've also had the ability to go back and watch a lot of film. And that's what happens sometimes when you have a team with that many star players that have, last season they had 2 full starting squads, really. Their reserve lineup could have probably ended the season top 5, like they were that talented. Now what ends up happening is off season, all you're doing is just watching film on how they play, how they build up, what they were doing to make it challenging and difficult for teams. And what majority of folks have noticed that it was really their midfield play that, you know, even whilst watching a lot of the film, now you have Kevin De Bruyne, who has had a very, very long injury, who won't be back until next year. And then having lost Gundogan, who went over to Barcelona, left the midfield really open because those were the 2 tacticians that were continually feeding Erling Haaland for his 50-plus goals last year, right? Now, you have Rodri in place of him now, but still, even Rodri was a third option at that point. It was the third best midfielder that they had. Now he's has the responsibility of taking it, you know, being the number one go-to guy. So I think City is in a decent spot right now. You know, losing these points this early is not what you want to do, but you'd rather lose them early than lose them late like Arsenal did last season. So I still think they have space to make it up. As long as they can stay within striking distance of the top spot and have Kevin get back in the mix, I think they're still going to be a problem throughout the entirety of the season, though.
I'm Sonny Young, and I'm chatting with Mukbil Yabarow about some of the recent English Premier League highlights. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Mukbil, let's go to Stamford Bridge, and the Blues of Chelsea defeat Brighton 3-2. You were mentioning midfield play. The Argentine midfielder for Chelsea, Enzo Fernandez, with a brace. What's the importance of that victory by the Blues, Mukbil?
I think it's huge, Sonny. To me, the very funny, I wouldn't say funny, but the interesting thing about Chelsea, right, is this team has spent so much money on some of their players, on a lot of players, that they have the talent across the board. If you looked at Chelsea's team on paper, they're supposed to be top three every year with the talent that they have alone. Now, for whatever reason, they just are not able to get it together. But in instances, you do see them, making it work. Interestingly enough, though, against Brighton, who Brighton really had a great start to the season. At the moment, they are in eighth place. Chelsea is in the 10th spot. Brighton is a very, very offensive-minded team. They really come out, they press you, they take a lot of shots. Brighton took 18 shots, and Chelsea only took 8. That says a huge amount of what this game was really like. This was a game where Chelsea also ended up getting a red card in the first half. They played an entire second half with 10 men. And they were still able to, kind of keep them out. So the score was 2-1 going into the half. And then Brighton strikes first by tying the game at 2-2. The game was 2-1, and then Chelsea end up going up 3-1 by getting a penalty kick in the 65th. Then, at that point, all they're doing is parking the bus. Chelsea decided, look, we got to find a way to make this work for us and just park the bus. They stayed there, and they were able to keep them out for almost the entirety of the game. But Pedro was able to score for Brighton in about the 92nd minute. And after that, you only had a few more minutes to be able to keep them out. So to me, I think it's a huge win for Chelsea, because we're looking at ball possession. Brighton had 68% of ball possession to 32% to Chelsea. They shot 9 shots on target to Chelsea's 5. They had 645 passes to 306. So they really were doubling them in a lot of the categories. It was not a great performance by Chelsea, but it shows me that they have the caliber to get the job done. When they get ahead, they don't lose the lead. And I can't say the same for some other teams that will remain nameless, because we have some of our colleagues that are fans of them.
Well, Mukbil, this is a busy week in the Premier League. Matches on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, as well as weekend games on December 9th and December 10th. Let me quickly recap the top of the table in the EPL. Your Gunners at the top with 33 points from 14 matches played. Liverpool currently in second place with 31 points, followed by defending champion Manchester City with 30 points, Aston Villa with 29 points, and in the fifth position, Tottenham with 27 points. How about the this week's schedule, Mukbil? Why don't you run down the fixtures?
Yeah, of the games that I think, I would say that kind of affect the top of the table, I would say Arsenal plays Luton Town today at 3:15 Eastern Time. So they play Luton Town today. Outside of that, I think there's only that game, and the Wolves and Burnley play a little earlier than that. Tomorrow, Liverpool plays Sheffield United. Depending on how they do, that'll be where Liverpool end up staying. Either they stay in the second spot or they shift down. And then we have Man City and Aston Villa tomorrow. So I think that Man City and Aston Villa game is huge for implications, simply because if you look at the standings, Man City and Aston Villa are number three and number four. Both of them, City has 30 points and Aston Villa has 29. With a draw, they both would gain 1 point. But if Aston Villa wins, they go up to 32 points. And if Man City wins, they go up to 33 points. So it's either way, it's very interesting because if City wins, Tottenham with a win can surpass Aston Villa, and Newcastle with a win can tie Aston Villa for that fourth spot. So lot of implications at the top of the table.
Finally, Muckbill, as we chat, we're 39 days away from the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. You'll be packing your bags for Ivory Coast for coverage, not just on the Sunny Side of Sports, but throughout the Voice of America. Muckbill, on a personal note, have you been to Ivory Coast before?
No, Sunny, I have not been to the Ivory Coast. I'm super excited to make it out there. I think all in all, this tournament is filled with exciting teams. I'm going to just enjoy the experience, enjoy the coverage, enjoy everything there is to enjoy in Ivory Coast for sure.
And I know I wouldn't be surprised if you're rubbing shoulders at some point with Didier Drogba. He'll certainly be watching the matches there, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think it's for him. It's huge that, you know, AFCON is going to be in Ivory Coast. Him being an Ivorian and also just having always held his team and his country, I should say, to such a high standard. I remember years back there was rumors that he was paying, for some of his players because maybe the funding for his teams weren't there yet due to, you know, whatever. Sometimes the money comes in late from the federations or.
Right.
You know, but he really wanted his teammates to feel that he really, truly cared about them. And, you know, since he was one of the few players that was playing abroad and had that, you know, big money coming in from EPL at the time, spending a big stint in Chelsea, he really just came back and, you know, gave back to the community, gave back to his country, his teammates. And he's still a very, very big force in football for Ivory Coast. So I would love to have an opportunity. If I see him in close range, best believe I will go and try to have a conversation with them.
Well, Muckbill, our friend from VOA Swahili service, Abdu Shakur Abud, on Monday's show was talking about how the elephants of Ivory Coast, they have to be considered a favorite simply as the host team and playing on their home soil there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely would agree. I think they are, and we've seen tournaments, whether it's football, basketball, rugby, whatever sport it is, when you are the host nation, it just gives you a little bit more pride. You know, you have the crowd with you. And also we just saw what, you know, Ivory Coast did in the World Cup qualifiers. So they're really clicking on all cylinders. I think this is a team that's hot right now. And they have the skill set to be able to get the job done. So I'm excited to see what they do. They are in Group A that have Nigeria in the group as well, Equatorial Guinea and Guinea-Bissau. So, you know, look to see. I'm really interested to see that clash between Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire. And honestly speaking, Ivory Coast, they looked a lot better than Nigeria has in the World Cup qualifiers. So, yeah.
Talking Africa Cup of Nations and talking English Premier League football with my colleague Muckbill Yabaro. Thank you, Muckbill.
Thank you, Sonny.
follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for Falilatu Chanile Salifu. She has been named Woman of the Year as part of the World Athletics Awards 2023. Chanile Salifu is the president of the Togolese Athletics Federation. World Athletics says she receives the honor in recognition of her dedication to advancing women's rights and fostering gender equality in sport. World Athletics says Chanile Salifu has demonstrated outstanding leadership and unwavering commitment with a series of transformative initiatives this year that have left a lasting impact on Togo's sports landscape. Her campaigns have included Girls Together for Sport and for Life, which promoted women's participation in sports and also helped raise awareness among girls in the most remote areas of Togo. Another project of Chanile Salifu celebrates role models who have overcome obstacles, with parents encouraged to register the births of girls and enroll them in school. For the start of the 2023 school year, this resulted in 90% of girls returning to school compared to 40% in 2022. More basketball news. NBA Africa announced this week that the first junior NBA league in South Sudan will tip off in early 2024. NBA Africa says it expects to reach 450 boys and girls ages 16 and under from the Juba area during the league's first season. Now, to celebrate the announcement, a new basketball court was unveiled at St. Mark's Orthodox School in Manuki, Juba. Among those on hand was two-time NBA All-Star and Basketball Africa League Global Ambassador Luol Deng. Deng says, and I quote, "The launch of the junior NBA in Juba will mark a historic milestone for South Sudan and speaks to the Luol Deng Foundation's commitment to using the transformative power of basketball to create pathways that encourage more South Sudanese boys and girls to reach their limitless potential." Luol Deng adds, and I quote, "As the first inter-school league in South Sudan, it can become a blueprint for setting up organized and competitive school leagues across the country while also allowing young players and their coaches to learn from NBA experts and be part of the larger junior NBA community." A shout out for the first junior NBA league in South Sudan. Great initiative by NBA Africa. And that wraps up the December 5th edition of the show. Thanks to producer Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer David Greenberg. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.